Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
So recently at a hearing on dietary guidelines, we heard quite a bit from the emerging plant-based foods industry. And one of the comments we heard from someone with a Coalition for Healthy School Food, a New York group that promotes plant-based foods, they called for the removal of dairy as a food group. Let's get some reaction to that from the dairy industry now. Alan Bjerga with the National Milk Producers Federation joins us. Alan, what do you think of that comment?
Well, you don't go out and start thinking that folks are going to be removing dairy as a food group anytime soon. But you also have to be mindful of the voices where this is coming from and understanding the importance of responding to these voices when you're dealing with the dietary guidelines. You know, the dietary guidelines for Americans is revamped every 5 years. It often is a reflection of the debates of its time. I think if you want to take a look at nutrition history, you could go back every 5 years and look at comments and see what the trends are. One thing that has been solid throughout the history of the dietary guidelines has been the acknowledgement of dairy as an essential part of diets and as a source of nutrients that really is not duplicated by other forms of protein or nutrition. That said, this time around, there are certainly some advocates. I think they're small in number, but they are quite vocal, who really have dairy in their sights. The idea that this is something that perhaps can be downplayed a bit in the diet, something, of course, that would be then to the benefit of the foods that they tout. And it's something that you have to be watching going forward. I don't think the dairy industry is in any sort of a panic over what remains pretty fringe commentary, but you have to know it's out there, and you have to take this process seriously to always restate the benefits that dairy has.
You know, I know a lot of people say, I don't pay any attention to those or not much attention to those guidelines anyway. I eat what I want to eat. But we know those guidelines do influence some people, and certainly in decisions being made for school lunch programs and things like that. So you do have to, you know, look at this, take it seriously.
Well, exactly. You know, the dietary guidelines, they don't force anybody to eat anything in one sense, but in another sense, it's incredibly important. The dietary guidelines form the basis for federal food programs, and given the number of children who are eating school meals, this is very important for the nutrition and health of the next generation, as well as the eating habits of the next generation. You know, dairy has been something that has been a mainstay of diets. We've seen in the last few years how, you know, when certain low-fat options were taken from menus under guidelines, you saw how milk consumption went down. Dairy is healthy. Dairy is a source of nutrients for people. If you don't expose it to people young, and a lot of that exposure comes through federal programs, you're really shaping eating habits for life. And that's why it's important, even if some people don't really pay much attention to it, even if you're not paying attention, it's still affecting what people are eating. And that's, of course, of crucial concern for public health.
But you don't think there's any serious move to eliminate dairy as a food group at this point, do you?
Eliminating dairy as a food group would be a very, very long-term goal for the plant-based movement, and not likely one that would be attainable this time around. But, you know, in Washington, there's a saying about, you know, legislation that gets introduced but maybe won't pass that particular year. It's called aspirational. These are goals that are worked on over long periods of time, and they're done by affecting public opinion, by, you know, getting studies that go in your favor, making people feel that, you know, this is just the logical next thing to do. Those are battles that are waged over the long haul, and you're thinking in terms of years and decades. That's why you have to take arguments like these seriously from the plant-based folks, because they know they're in this for the long haul, and what they're trying to do is influence perception, public opinion. So maybe not in 2020, but perhaps 2025, 2030, you might see some changes that don't seem so unreasonable because you've spent literally an entire generation of convincing people that this is the way it should be. That's why it's important for folks who are backers of dairy to be following this process. When public comments are available, to make comments, let people know that dairy needs to be continuing as a food group, that the recommended 3 servings a day are what should be the recommendation for nutrition. and stand up. This is not something that is necessarily the immediate threat to the industry, but you have to be watching this because, again, these play out over years, half decades, decades. And once you start seeing these moves, it's important to counteract.
We're talking with Alan Bjerga with the National Milk Producers Federation. Alan, how does the dairy industry view this emerging plant-based food industry?
Well, you know, I speak for the National Milk Producers Federation, which is dairy cooperatives and farmers. The dairy industry is a much larger entity than that. But I think when you see with plant-based is, first of all, we don't have any opposition to the idea of plant-based foods or diets that are heavy in plant-based foods. So certainly there is a lot of nutrition from a lot of products. You know, U.S. farmers grow these products as well, and we support agriculture. What we do take issue with is mischaracterization and misinformation, which is very much something that is then done not to really give people nutrition or give them proper information, but really is about market share and dollars and cents. You know, that's what you see with the dairy labeling debate. When you see the plant-based industry saying that beverages that have nothing to do with the nutritional package that dairy has, trying to pass themselves off as legitimate substitutes for dairy products. You know, in that issue, you see the plant-based sector really become a group that is not working for the public health, but really for a commercial interest. And when you're standing up for proper nutrition for Americans, especially nutrition for children, you have to be able to keep the debate fact-based, regardless of what plant-based may have to say.
Meanwhile, I wanted to touch on this as well while we have you with us. We know sign up, of course, for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program began back on June 17th, and we know now that FSA has started issuing payments to producers who have purchased coverage, right?
Yes, and frankly, we're very pleased with the pace of sign-up that's been happening for this program. You know, about 10 days in, FSA said that there were about 5,000 dairies that were signed up for this program. We thought, you know, that's a good pace. That's about one out of every eight dairies in the United States. But frankly, we expected the pace to slow down a little bit just because there's always that initial rush, and then there's people who sort of wait on the sidelines for more information before you have another rush at the end. But we found that in roughly the next 10 days, another 5,000 dairy operations signed up. So the pace of signups has been steady and strong. We really feel that at this pace, you're going to see certainly sign-up levels exceed that for the Margin Protection Program, as well they should. This is a better program. And really seeing that, you know, with the payment that the USDA is now offering, which is in line with the promises they made last February, we certainly commend the USDA for that. You're seeing farmers getting tangible help. It's been a tough 5 years for dairy. We're seeing this assistance go out to farmers when they need it. It's really been a case where we're seeing implementation. Of course, there are always concerns, there are always hiccups, there are always problems with some of the details. But all in all, it seems like it's a robust sign-up, it seems like it's a successful sign-up, and we're just thrilled to see some relief coming to farm country.
So sign up around 10,000 now. Producers can enroll through September 20th. It'll be interesting to see in these final weeks of the sign up if those numbers stay strong like that.
Yeah, and if farmers have questions about some of the rules for sign-ups, you can always email us at info@nmpf.org. Also, we have resources on our website. If you just go to www.nmpf.org, you'll see a big red box right on the homepage. And if you click on that, it takes you right to our Dairy Margin Coverage Program resources, certainly available to help answer questions and help farmers as they take this step.
Because there are some decisions to be made. They choose what coverage levels they want to take.
You know, I got to say, you don't want to tell any farmer how to run their operation, but the 950 coverage level for your first 5 million pounds under DMC is being taken by the overwhelming number of farmers. And when you take a look at the dollars and cents of the months for payments that we already know what the history will be, January through April, 950 seems to be a no-brainer. I think a big question producers are asking right now is, do I lock in my coverage at 950 for the next 5 years and get a 25% discount on my premiums, or do I go year to year? You know, do I tailor it based on what prices are going to be? I think those are questions that are being answered at FSA offices right now. We certainly have some charts and some scenarios available that can, you know, give farmers dollars and cents on that. But, you know, the 950 coverage seems to be incredibly popular. A big question is whether you lock in for 5 years or not.
All right, Alan, good to talk to you. Thanks for the information. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Take care. Alan Bjerga with the National Milk Producers Federation. All right, up next, Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. We're not just going to talk markets, but we are going to talk markets, but also learn about their U.S. corn crop project. Some really interesting images, some photography that the technology allows us to get a really close look at a wide area of the corn crop. We're going to find out how that has worked and what are some of the results that they're seeing. That's coming up next here on AOA.